Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, come on. Turn the radio on. It's Saturday and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine. But they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Saying there are fine people on both sides of what happened on October 7th. She has praised some of the protesters who have called Israel's response genocide. It's like saying there are fine people on the side of 9/11. No, there aren't. There are terrorists. And there are democracies, and she has to give the same message in Michigan as she does in Pennsylvania. And she risks losing everybody on the ground that she's a hypocrite.
So Alan Dershowitz talking about Kamala Harris's stance on the October 7th attacks that ravaged Israel, and we're still beyond a year past that, and we've heard the ads that are being run in Michigan are talking about, you know, ceasefires in Gaza, and then the ads that are being run from the Kamala Harris campaign in Pennsylvania are saying, you know, Israel has the right to exist and terrible terrorist attack. Which is it? Which is it? So the vote that's taking place today will have massive consequences globally based on how these conflicts have materialized. And of course, the United States has a role in it. And the question is, which direction will it go? Let's talk to our friend Jim Carafano. Wonderful to have him here on Election Day. Senior Counselor to the President and E.W. Richardson Fellow for International Engagement at the Heritage Foundation. Jim, you're a policy guy. We love that about you. Today is Election Day. I'm just wondering, how stark are the comparisons between America's choice between one candidate and the other today? Like, what's at stake on the global stage based on who America chooses?
Well, let's just talk about the issue that you raised. And I'm sorry I have to keep saying this all over again, but not a Republican, not a Democrat, don't have a dog in this fight. Harris, it's the problem is not playing politics with the issue of Israel and saying things to kind of please both sides. The problem is her heart is really with the Islamists, the people that she's brought into government, that Biden brought into government, that they're working, and they're inviting, that are advising them. They're not on the side of Israel, and Israel will truly be alone under their presidency. That's just a fact.
I got to think that the prospect of what Israel is going to do, it seems like in these last months that Israel has chosen to do what Israel is going to do, that the American influence on those decisions, just from the outside looking in, completely novice perspective on my own, has American influence in that region waned in the last year or more due to the administration currently involved?
You know, absolutely. And I think you're right. Israel feels like it's alone and it's acting in its own self-interest. But here's what I would say on this thing. For people to say, well, I don't care about Israel. I don't care about the Middle East. It's a lot bigger than that, what we're seeing here, because if you look at the global, not just the war in the Middle East, but the global intifada that was mobilized to undermine support for Israel and build support for the terrorists and the rapists, it's mind-boggling how much money, power, and influence went into that. And today it's turned on Israel and on Jews. We see expressions of Jew hate in the United States that look like something you would see in Nazi Germany in the 1930s. And today it's Israel and the Jews. Tomorrow can be whatever. And so this has massive implications for the United States and our future foreign policy far beyond that. You know, remember like how often we heard about dark money and big money and money in politics from the left in campaign? Zero this year. Zero, right? Because $1 billion showed up in her campaign war chest, and all of a sudden they don't care about big money anymore. And the reality is money has bought a global intifada, and it won't stop there.
I mean, you work in policy, and I got to think to myself, like, one of the suggested policies out there is to support a ceasefire. What is a ceasefire? Like, the suggestions that are being made in a campaign season, it's hard to take really anything seriously as far as like actual actionable policy. So I'm not going to ask you specifically about the ceasefire, but how do you achieve peace in that region of the world that has biblically had conflict since the beginning of time?
We go back really to a formula that was proven that was working, which is, one is you have to put Iran back in a very small box because Iran is the root of all evil. The second is you have to have support, which is with Israel, which is the only dependable ally the United States has in the Middle East, and you have to show support for your allies. And the third thing is you have to get back to the normalization between Arabs and Israelis, because that is the future, long-term future of stability in the region. Those are the three things that you have to do. And we were doing those, and the proof of how smart and good and effective they were is that as soon as we stopped, everything went to hell.
Jim Carafano with us right now with the Heritage Foundation. You have been saying, I guess it's almost 4 years to the date, about the number one issue that was going to play a massive role in the next election. And you said this right after Joe Biden got elected. You said there were going to be millions of people coming here illegally, that they'd be welcomed into the country, and that would be a major problem for, you know, Republican voters, Democrat voters, independent voters, non-voters who become voters. You have been on this from day one. And I'm wondering, from the moment that you made that comment here on this show to today, Election Day in 2024, how bad has the pop problem grown in that amount of time?
Yeah. You know, I can never think of another situation where I hoped that I could not have been more wrong. Like, I would have been the happiest guy in the world to say everything I told you the day after the election in 2020 about how this is all going to go to hell on the border immigration. I really hoped I was going to be wrong. And, sometimes I'm just shocked. You know, I would throw numbers out like 10 million illegal immigrants let in by the end of the Biden administration. And like, should I really say that? I mean, I know that's what I believe, but look, will people just think I'm like a crazy man, like Mars is going to invade or something? I don't know how we go back from this. Here's the problem. There's, even if the Democrats win this election, their policies are simply unsustainable. Whether it's Iran in the Middle East or green transition that's never going to work, or border immigration that's destroying this country. And when you have an untested, indecisive leader and policies that are completely unworkable, and yet they are literally items of faith of the base of your party, how do you govern? How do you rule? How do you take the country forward? I don't see how that ends well.
Speaking with Jim Carafano right now, I mean, you had the foresight to see what was going to happen, and then it happened. Do you feel like the administration, the Biden-Harris administration, had the same foresight, surrounded with the same wisdom and experts to have that foresight? Did they know what was going to happen when they did 94 executive orders of Donald Trump's?
I don't know. I marvel. I don't understand how they ever thought this was going to work for them. I assume that at some point they just thought, and I still think this is their Hail Mary pass, that this will just force a mass amnesty and that'll wipe the slate clean and that'll solve the problem. But the problem, as you know, is mass amnesties only encourage more mass amnesties. So it's not going to end. So they have created an insolvable problem that only works if essentially at the end you want to create a global right to migrate and you turn responsibility for everything over to a world government that's going to manage all this and they'll manage it horribly. And look, I just don't see how they work their way out of this when they've even lost their own base on this. I honestly don't understand why this issue hasn't actually destroyed them completely out of the box politically, because it's hurt everybody. It's hurt Democrats, Republicans, big cities, small cities, everyday Americans, big corporate. I mean, it's crime. It's hurt all of us, and it's literally the unsustainable program, and it is going to be for the frustrating thing is here is for Trump, even if he doesn't control both houses of Congress, it's an easily solvable problem. For the other guys, I think it's virtually impossible for them to address it in any kind of way that's going to resolve it. And for Harris basically to come out on the campaign trail and say, oh, we'll deport people. None of these things are credible. It's the joke about the dog chasing a car or be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
So Democrats have now implemented exactly the policy that they've always wanted to implement, and they have no idea how to live with the consequences of it.
Jim Carafano, one last question before we let you go here. We'll have results hopefully sooner than later. Hopefully this doesn't get drawn out forever and ever to find out who the next president is going to be. But I'm wondering if you are of the opinion that there are people on the world stage that are waiting to see what happens next because their next move comes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Post the voters' decision in the United States of America.
Yeah, I'll make a prediction on this because I just thought, I've been only watching this thing for 50 years, and this is how the world works. Harris is an untested leader. And not only is she untested, I think their initial inclination is she'll actually be quite indecisive and weak. She's going to be surrounded by a new team, which is actually going to be probably weaker than even the team she has now. So the first thing people will do is test her, both her friends and her enemies. On the other hand, I think Trump, you know, people say he's unpredictable, which I really don't agree with, but he is a known quantity. People know that if people come after us, Trump will come after them. So actually, I think the first thing that will happen on Trump is our enemies will take pause, would be my guess.
Well, that's a good place to be. Jim Carafano, can't wait to talk to you next week. We will have something to talk about different than what we've been talking about for quite some time. And we are so grateful for your expertise on this show, the time that you always give to us. Very, very thankful for it.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Jim Carafano, senior counselor to the president and E.W. Richardson Fellow for International Engagement at the Heritage Foundation on X at JJ Carafano. All right, let's take a quick break. The stakes are high. Of course, we know that. The world stage, certainly, maybe the highest of stakes. Election day is today. Have you voted yet? We want to know what your experience at the polls was. If you go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel, leave a comment and tell us what you think about your experience voting. Maybe a lot of you have voted early as well. The YouTube live chat poll today is, how are you feeling? Confident, scared, anxious, or hopeful? Dunbar says on the Annie Fry YouTube channel, excited and optimistic. Gary says, anxious but hopeful here. Just like any great competition, any great Game 7, all of it comes down to this. And we've got you covered here on 97.1 FM Talk. You know that we're going to have coverage tonight with the Mark Reardon show, heading up everything you need to know locally. Fox News national coverage involved as well. And the Annie Fry show will be doing a YouTube party, watch party at my house. So you want to join us there as well. Go vote in the YouTube poll. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show on Election Day. Boy, have we been waiting a long time to say this, and then all of a sudden it snuck up on you, and then we're here, and now we're sitting and waiting. So it's a hurry up and wait situation, and we're all feeling it. We're all got the emotions going. We know you do, too. It's so empowering to walk into Circle. I filled out my ballot, and I just, like, took a second and kind of stared at it, and like, well, there it is. There it is.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'll go put it
this
in this
machine.
This is
what we've been talking about so much.
I feel like I should spend some time with you, get to know you a little bit.
Right?
I'm just going to hand it over to this man.
Now you're gone?
Yes.
Is
just
all
like that
argument for
I
that?
Raised you, and now you're just in a machine?
Yes. I spent a lot of time thinking about this moment. But my vote has been counted. Did you vote earlier today, Ryan?
I did.
You voted early?
Voted early, yeah.
All right. So it is finished, at least for the three people in this room. And we're all wondering the same thing that you are. Now what? And according to Dana Perino, I'll tell you what she's telling people. We'll see. But we're going to talk to our friend. I couldn't have an election day without talking to our friend Will Scharf. He's, of course, an attorney for Donald Trump, former federal prosecutor for the Eastern District of Missouri. Will, thank you for some election day time. I assume that you might be a little anxious, too, but you've had some confidence about yourself as well. How do you feel?
You know, I feel great. And actually, I was talking to my buddy Rich Barris, who runs the People's Pundit. And he was telling me that the numbers out of Guam, he thinks, predict an incredibly successful election night for Republicans up and down the ticket. So I'm excited. I'm excited to get down to it. I'm excited to see how the numbers come back in a couple hours. And yeah, it should be a fun night.
Where are you right now, Will?
Sorry, I just stepped out. I'm down in Florida.
Yeah.
I've been running around doing some legal work this morning. I will be over at a party and then the convention center tonight to watch returns with a crew of MAGA folks. So it should be pretty fun.
We are excited. We're going to try to connect with you later this evening if it works out with your schedule on our watch party on YouTube. You know, I think that the results are, I've seen things coming in and they make me get a little bit taller, stand a little bit stronger and more confident. How do you feel about the Trump campaign right now? What you know about those individuals? Is the confidence level pretty steady?
Yeah, you know, I've been on the phone with folks from the campaign, you know, most of the morning. Everyone's, I'd say, cautiously optimistic that people feel good. People feel good about what they're hearing on the ground. We seem to be getting turnout in the places that we need it. But ultimately, the proof will be in the pudding, and no one really knows what all these votes are until we get them opened and counted, hopefully as quickly as possible. But yeah, the mood on the Trump campaign is, I think, pretty strong. People are making some pretty bullish predictions, and I don't think anyone's seen anything to make us not optimistic at this point. Meanwhile, from what I've heard nationally from talking to journalists and a few others, the Harris campaign is very worried that they think, you know, in an optimistic moment, they think they might squeak a victory. But there doesn't seem to be the sort of optimism around around Harris's people as there are with our people.
Will, I had no idea that you were friends with Rich Barris. I was quoting him earlier in this show about...
Of course Will's friends with Rich Barris.
Of course he is. I don't know why I would have assumed otherwise. but the quote that I gave that I thought was really good from Rich was, Republicans say Democrats have TDS, and that may be true, but it's also true that Republicans have PTSD from 2020 and 2022. So, Will, my question for you is there anything that you're watching for, or maybe that the people around you are watching for, that's like, if just that can happen, that we can all breathe a little easier? Is there any indicator like that?
So once we start seeing votes tabulated after the polls close on the Eastern Seaboard, once we start seeing votes come in from North Carolina, from Georgia, from Virginia in particular, we're going to know, I think, very quickly which way this election's going. If suburban areas are overwhelmingly for Kamala, that's a problem. If the vote total in urban areas is low, that's very good for us. If the rural and ex-urban vote is very high, that's very good for us. So I think within an hour or so after polls close on the Eastern Seaboard, we're going to have a pretty good idea of whether this is going to be a, you know, a blowout for President Trump, a win for Kamala, or whether it's going to be really close. So that's really what I'm looking for, is those first precincts in North Carolina, Georgia, and Virginia, which I think will tell us what sort of a world we're living in.
We're speaking with Will Scharf, our friend here on the Annie Frye Show, Donald Trump's attorney, one of his attorneys. He's also a former federal prosecutor here in the Eastern District of Missouri. Will, you know, the question that a lot of people have, and we certainly don't have the legal expertise to know the answers to these questions, but everybody wants to make sure this election is fair. I've seen a lot of things kind of bubble up to the surface, and it seems like the RNC has been poised to take things as they come. I don't think that... I think it's important for people to remember that these types of question marks happen in every election. And the hope is that if there is something that comes up that's kind of weird, that it gets rectified and the legal outcome is what happens, regardless of whose benefit it is to, that it's legal and fair. How do you feel so far about the question marks that we're seeing come up maybe here and there and how the RNC is responding to them?
You know, so far, I think things have been going really well in that respect. I think the RNC's legal team and the campaign's legal team, run by David Warrington and Bill McGinley, two outstanding lawyers, they're executing on a game plan that I think should secure this election. So we had an issue in Pennsylvania this morning where machines weren't operating properly. Within minutes, they had run into court there. We got polls held open late.
That's great.
Those two Republican counties until 10 p.m., this is a seamless operation. It's an operation that I think is prepared to do what's necessary to ensure that this election goes off without a hitch or with as few hitches as possible. And then once we have results in, once we understand where these ballots came from and what's going on, you know, we'll take things from there. But what we saw in 2020, I think, is not going to be repeated this time around. I think it's so far, at least, it appears to be a much more normal election, and we'll see how things progress as the night moves along.
Is that, Will, is that because of COVID and all the rule changes that have been rescinded now, or is it just that Republicans have their act together better?
COVID gave the Democrats an opportunity to drive a pickup truck through our system of election integrity. That everyone was scared, so the Dems were rushing into court, and the courts were signing off, you know, blank checks, basically, to any lawyer who came waving a briefcase. That dynamic's not happening this time around. So that's, you know, one thing that's positive. The second thing I'll say is I think that the legal team on the campaign and that the legal team at the disposal of the RNC this time around, it just seems much better organized, much more disciplined, and much more up for the fight than our team was in 2020 when things were just seemed more disorganized. So I think we have a better team ready to respond to anything that might come up. And I think the once in a generation thing that was COVID isn't there to muck things up for us either.
Yeah. We've talked before on the show. I'm going to ask you to kind of have this conversation once again. But there is a factor of, I don't know if fraud is the right word, but there's a percentage that is kind of to be expected of shenaniganery, maybe, that takes place in any given election. And if you can overcome that in a, you know, too big to rig fashion, then you feel a little more comfortable. How do you set the table for what people can expect and where Donald Trump needs to be in order to leapfrog the expected amount of question marks that might surface in an election?
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, as you said, in every election, there's going to be some fraud. The goal is obviously making sure there's as little fraud as possible. And in an ideal world, there would be no fraud. We've heard stories, for example, already about illegal immigrants casting votes in certain jurisdictions. That's a huge problem. Illegal immigrants should not be allowed to cast votes. I think after this election, we need to look very seriously at whether it's national standards or otherwise ensuring that this illegal immigrant voting thing doesn't happen. That having been said, so far it appears to be a relatively minor phenomenon, something that I don't think will affect this election unless this election's extremely close. What I'm really looking for is, you know, as we get into counting this evening, are ballots going to be mysteriously appearing? Right before polls close, are a ton of mail-in votes going to be introduced into the system in states that are receiving them then? In states like Nevada, are we going to see late arriving absentee ballots even after Election Day, which is what happened in 2022? Are we going to see buses of people showing up at the polls with dubious ID right before things close? I think if we start seeing those sorts of things, particularly in states with a history of fraud like in Nevada, then it's going to be a very long night for me and a bunch of other lawyers down here in West Palm Beach. But hopefully we don't see that. You know, we all want a clean election. We all want an election of the United States of America. And hopefully that's what we'll get tonight.
We're speaking with Will Scharf here on the Annie Fry Show. So people who are listening right now, it's 1:35 here central. So maybe people have voted on their lunch break. Maybe people are expecting to vote right after they get off work. Maybe they're taking off a little bit early. Can you go through some of the rights that voters have when they show up to their polling place? What do they need to know about their right to vote?
So first of all, you get to your polling place right before it closes. They announce it's closing. Do not leave the line. As long as you are in line before the scheduled end of balloting, you have a right to cast your vote. So that's number one. If you get there before the end of voting, do not leave that line. Make sure your voice is heard. Second, you know, you show up there, you show them your ID, make sure that the information they show you is correct. Make sure that you're correctly entered in the system. If they tell you that you've already voted, that they already have a record of your vote in the system, that's a problem. That means either you already voted and you forgot, which means you should probably see your doctor about the onset of dementia, or it means
or
someone else has illegally voted. Right. Or it means someone else has
just
illegally
write your name
voted
in.
Using your identification.
Yeah.
So it's going to differ county by county and state by state as to sort of how exactly you deal with that. There may be a provisional ballot option, but, you know, talk to the election officials there, see what your options are, and make sure that that you end up casting a vote. This is, I've said it before on this show, this is the most important election of our lifetimes, and I would not want to wake up 10 years from now and think back to myself, wow, I really wish I'd voted in 2024. So I voted early in St. Louis County. I had to wait, you know, about an hour and a half to do it, but I was proud to do it. And hopefully everyone else will get out there and vote, even if it's rainy, even if it's a miserable day. It's worth 5 or 10 or 20 minutes of discomfort to make sure that your voice is heard on this crucial, crucial election day.
Well, this is just a question of curiosity more than anything, but how does a campaign spend election day? What is the former president doing? Is he, you know, kind of saying, okay, we've done our work, or is he still out there campaigning? I mean, what does today look like?
You know, he didn't get back to Florida from Michigan until about 5 a.m. last night. So the president voted this morning. He then swung by campaign HQ, did a sort of press appearance there and spoke to staff, encouraged staff. The first lady was with him. She spoke beautifully, as she usually does. My assumption is he went back to Mar-a-Lago for a nap. That's probably what I would be doing if I were him. But I think his plan is to be at Mar-a-Lago. The campaign's sort of victory party is at the convention center in West Palm Beach. That's where a lot of us will be tonight. And campaign staff will start trickling over there after votes close and after really whatever work they're doing starts to wrap up. Expect the press team, the legal team, and others to be working well into the night. Certainly until polls are closed on the West Coast. So it's going to be a long night for a lot of folks in West Palm Beach.
Yes, a long night and prayerfully a good night as well. Will, we appreciate you so much. You've walked us through years now of this campaign, and we've been enjoying every step of the way, and we look forward to having you back and hoping to have something to celebrate, of course, on the other side. So we really appreciate your time today.
I think the signs are really, really good. I think we're going to have a fun night, and I am really excited. Thanks for having me, guys. Talk to you all soon.
Yes, talk to you soon. Will Scharf, Donald Trump attorney, former federal prosecutor for the Eastern District of Missouri. I think that we will see him be involved in the future of this administration should Donald Trump win today. Have you voted yet? Have you cast your ballot? It's the day. Don't put it off. We know that you guys are superstars when it comes to these types of things. So the question now that we have, like we said earlier, we can comb through every poll that's out there. And then guess what? All of the polls could be wrong. So we're kind of just trying to put our finger on your pulse today. You're the one here that matters anyway. How do you feel? How are you feeling on election day? Because we're very close to very, very potentially good news or, you know, the other thing. Are you feeling confident, scared, anxious, or hopeful? I said I'm anxious. Ryan, you were hopeful?
No, I'm not anxious? Hopeful. No, not anxious either.
You were confident.
Confident.
Of course, you are what Ryan is.
Hey, why not? Why change now?
Confident. Were you hopeful?
I was hopeful, yes. Okay. I still am hopeful.
All right. None of us are scared, though.
No.
No, not scared. You do go through all this, just like with anything. The way anxiety creeps up on you is you start going through the scenarios of how bad it could be. And that's with anything, not just an election, but anything in life. If you start thinking about, well, what could go wrong?
Yeah.
That's what brings you anxiety.
Yeah.
And of course we're doing that today. Everybody's doing that.
Which is kind of why I had to remove myself from Twitter, because I would scroll and then it would make me feel this way. And then I'd scroll and it would make me feel that way.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I cannot do that. Last night I was talking about earlier in the show, I was laying in bed or laying in the chair, reclined in the chair, kind of watching the Trump rally, thinking, okay, it's the last one. I'm just going to kind of take this in and see what happens. Listening to that, I had CNN up on a tab on my computer. I had Fox News on a tab. I had, I think, three things of audio playing at one time, like a psychopath. And I was just kind of taking it all in, and they're all of a sudden at once, and I'm downstairs by myself. Everybody's been asleep for hours. It was 1:30 in the morning, and it is torrential rain outside.
Mm-hmm.
It's just pouring. We have a lot of trees in our backyard and a deck on the back of the house, so you can hear the rain a lot. You can hear coming through all of that foliage in our backyard. And I really love the sound of rain. It's very peaceful to sit and just listen to rain, you know? And I all of a sudden felt like, I gotta turn this off. Nothing's happening here. And while I was in the moment and I was consuming things and I wanted to be consuming them, I realized that I could do this all the way to morning and I will feel the exact same way in the morning as I do right now. And so I just turned everything off and I just laid back in my chair. It was dark and the rain was just coming down. And I think I went to sleep immediately, like immediately. And I didn't intend.
Because it felt like it was 2:30.
Well, that's what I said in my head. Yeah. My husband was like, what time did you go to bed? I was like, I think I finally went to sleep at 2:30. And I go, which felt like 3:30.
Oh, that, yeah.
But that was by the time I came upstairs. But I just, you know, everything starts spinning. You're just trying to figure things out that are not figure outable. And I just thought, I need to just like stop for a second. I need to just be still. And so I just laid back in the chair. And I think I probably slept down there for like 30 minutes before I went upstairs. But it was like, clearly I needed a moment to just calm. So hopefully you guys get that moment and you can just keep yourself steady, because we could be on the brink of something really, really amazing that I am excited for it.
At some point, I've been watching early voting data every day and every night that I can. But at about 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, now you're just recycling the same. You're looking at spin and,
yeah,
you know, data is data, but then you have people interpreting it. You can go on that forever, but at a certain point, you just got to cut it off and say, well, I've seen what I need to see. And I was looking at that last night, and not to bring up, you were watching three different...
I had CNN on, and I had captions up. I was listening to the Trump rally, sort of, and just to be, if anything came up or if a guest walked on the stage that I could go, that I could then shift my focus to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of just like hanging out with the Trump rally. And I had CNN on and Fox News on, and I had captions on one and the audio up on the other.
Do you know which rally it was that Rogan did the endorsement during? Was it the,
it was the last one.
Was it the last
the
one?
The Grand Rapids one.
Because I, when I saw that, I thought this could be a pretty big deal. And I look at there was all kinds of maps that showed where people were searching that, and Pennsylvania was the number one where people were searching about that endorsement. But I only bring it up because, you know, he said in that tweet that Elon Musk is the one that convinced him to do it. And Elon Musk's big argument for Trump, I mean, there's many, but the one that he's repeated several times is, look, you have to vote in this election for Trump, because this is the last legitimate election we could maybe have with all of the illegal voters that the administration's trying to bring in for the future. They're not legal now, so they can't vote. But in the future, if it's a Kamala Harris presidency, that's going to be her goal. And I wonder what case he made to Rogan to get that endorsement.
You didn't listen to that podcast?
Which one?
The Rogan and Elon Musk one? That dropped right as I was walking out. And he made, one of the most eloquent cases for freedom of speech that I've heard. And that's why that was so important. He also said, when he was talking about Twitter and buying Twitter, that they will come after him and try to eliminate Twitter because Twitter is a check on their unfettered power.
If you don't have freedom of speech, you don't have democracy. Okay? Because if you don't have freedom of speech, people cannot make an informed vote. If they're just being fed propaganda, and there's no freedom of speech, democracy is an illusion. Freedom of speech is the bedrock of democracy. That's why freedom of speech is the First Amendment. Once you lose freedom of speech, you lose democracy. Game over. That's why I bought Twitter.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break. Wiggins America, right around the corner. It's election day, and we are excited to be here with you. What will materialize in the next 24 hours? One way or another, we've got you covered. On 97.1 FM Talk, we've got all of the coverage that you are looking for tonight right here on 97.1 FM Talk. Mark Ridden at the helm for our election coverage. We're going to start national coverage with Fox News at
6 o'clock.
6 p.m. So Mark Ridden's going to get off. He's going to inhale, exhale, hand it over to Fox News National. We are very proud to be the Fox News brand here in St. Louis. We've got all of the experts at our fingertips here on this station. And then Mark Reardon's going to take over. Give you the local results that you want. We're going to include national coverage with Fox News throughout the evening. And then, of course, if you want to watch the results come in with us, you pop over on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. Little watch party. Little fun. We're excited. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We appreciate you being with us on a big election day. Hopefully you've got your vote cast. If you were voting after work gets done or maybe this afternoon, let us know how things are going on the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll. How are you feeling? Confident, scared, anxious, or hopeful? We got a lot of comments coming in. We're going to get to more of your response in the 2 o'clock hour. But first, Wiggins America. Wiggins.
Oh, Wiggins.
Even the sounder was apprehensive.
Nah, it's supposed to be confident, though. Mm-hmm. That's the way I feel today.
A little anxious.
All right. Well, this is from the New York Post. It's basically to help you deal with election banter in the workplace.
Okay.
Today. So if you have election, that is number one. Hide in a corner. If you can find a closet, crawl in there. Do not open the bleach.
And if it opens, they open the doors. Just
do
say,
not open the bleach, he says.
Trump.
Here is what New York Post says you should do to help you have a good election day in the workplace. Number one, embrace political conversations.
All right.
Rather than avoiding the topic, assume that your colleagues and even your boss are going to chat about the election because everybody's already thinking about it anyway.
Don't you think that, like, the assumption is that at this point in time, the assumption, if you go into a conversation like that, is that the other person automatically thinks the exact opposite of you and they hate you for thinking the way you do.
It's so, yes. Everybody,
like that's the default mode.
Yeah. You always are kind of bracing for the loudest person to speak up because you're probably not that person. If you are, well, then you're probably speaking up already.
It also is interesting because you think that the loudest, most obnoxious person, everybody listening right now thinks that the loudest, most obnoxious person is on the other side of the aisle.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's not always true, but it can be. If you work in an office.
Well, when I say on the other side of the aisle, I mean from the person who's doing
from
the thinking.
Where you
not
are,
from the
not
other
from
side
ours.
Of, no, like if you're on the left, you think the obnoxious people are on the right. If you're on the right, you think the obnoxious people are on the left.
Absolutely. This says that you might as well just go ahead and have those conversations. Avoiding the conversations, and here's a great point, contributes to polarization and misunderstanding.
Yeah, talk a lot about it. I'm sure HR's like, great idea.
Right. This is the New York Post, so they can say all they want. But if you have those conversations, whether it's at work or wherever, it does help kind of, at least you kind of get where somebody's coming from. You may completely disagree, and that's fine, but at least you understand better why they believe what they believe. This can be true really of any time, not just election
day. And I think a lot of that angst and that disagreement comes from the people that are like on the fringes of each party. And they're like, you're terrible because this, this, and this. And so everybody does. Nobody wants to talk because they're worried that the person they'll talk to will be one of those 1%.
Yeah, you just think the worst.
The next one is to befriend the white space, which they're referring to.
Careful.
As... I know, right? I'm like, wait a minute.
They're putting them in spaces?
Wait a minute.
Yeah, there's designated spaces, like on college campuses.
Exactly.
Befriend the white space, which means the pause. Taking deep breaths, pausing before responding. Don't respond quickly to stimulus in these conversations, because it'll help if you can make sure that you're keeping a level head. I think that's good advice. Next one?
Sure.
Listen, instead of aggressively trying to get your point across.
Always key for anything.
Open a conversation and then just listen. Ask, hey, did you vote? If you want to have these conversations, hey, I see your sticker. You voted this morning. How did it go? You know, these are very easy things to do. And then you can see where the conversation goes.
I disagree with asking opening questions.
You want to just let them happen to you?
No, you just, oh, hey, I see your sticker. You got to vote. That's cool. And then, like, you go on with it. And then if the other person wants to talk about it, I don't know. We're in such an uncomfortable situation because everybody knows that this is what we do for a living that we don't get to have casual conversations about these things.
Yeah, in the office, people here generally know where we're coming from.
Yeah, you would hope. But I also don't, I don't think you need to talk about it. I don't know why you, I don't agree with, get it out there in the open. I don't think that's correct. I think you should keep it all pent up inside. That's my advice.
The next one from the New York Post is ask questions.
False.
Do this if you don't agree with your employer's views or feel outnumbered by your boss and colleagues. That is a place where you can ask questions, get the conversation going, and then, referring back to the last one, listen. And I do believe that that helps everything. We got time, Brad, for another couple
more.
Okay. This one, I'm not really sure what they're mean here, but it says, you were talking about election day. This isn't something that can happen fast. It says, tap into mental health resources. According to a survey from blah, 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 40% of Americans revealed felt depressed or anxious around election season. Well, maybe having conversations will help with that a little bit. And then last couple here is don't expect to change anyone's opinion.
That should be the first one.
That seems like a good way to approach a conversation. You're not out to change somebody's mind or win an argument in the
workplace. Whole thing about talking about this stuff at work, the politics should not matter. It's the people who matter.
To happen that way.
If you're in an office setting and you're working towards a common goal, then your relationship with that person has to be the priority. And I really don't see how being like, I see you voted, how did that go? is helpful. Or necessary. Like, I am of the mind that I would just rather not know how people are voting. If I have a goal that I need to achieve with you that is completely outside of politics, I feel like, let's just focus on that.
Now, see, you're actually hitting on some of them now. So as much as you disagreed with them, now you're kind of right in line with them, because the last couple here are maintain your humility.
Yeah.
Keep calm and carry on.
Okay.
And then last, maybe most important, agree to disagree. and walk away at any point. It's fine to disengage. If a conversation suddenly intensifies or you think it's about to, you can say, hey, you know what? That's cool. Let's just agree to disagree.
Nah, focus on things that, I mean, politics matter. If they come up, they come up. But don't be the person who brings them up. Am I wrong?
I may be.
At this point, on election day,
if you have the right attitude about it, I think you can do it.
I don't know. Let us know what you think. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.